Let us begin our worship this morning by singing "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord." It's also known as the Battle Hymn of the Republic, hymn 332 in our green Lutheran Book of Worship. Turn to page 56 in the front portion of our Lutheran Book of Worship. We move to the Confession and Forgiveness of Sins. We begin our service in the same manner as we are baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As the writer of the first letter of John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us think upon these gracious words. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, words, and deeds, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. We meet here because there's good news. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment and say, Lord, look around us and share this peace of Christ. Peace be with you, Brody. Peace be with you, Anson. Go to page 57, if you portion. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Good morning. Welcome as we worship as God's people. Looks to be like a beautiful day. And I'm not going to talk about the weather forecast. We'll worry about that when it comes later on, if it comes. But welcome to those who are listening on the radio this morning. It's good to have you as part of our fellowship this morning, too. The flowers on the altar are given by Harry Blagan in memory of his son, Matthew. So thank you to Harry and Robin for that. And let's see. Next Sunday, one service, so you can sleep in here, this group you can sleep in, come to 9:15 service, and I hope we have a good turnout. Pastor Dan Olson will be our special consecration Sunday speaker. He's a fascinating speaker. He's had a lot of variety of experiences, very down to earth. He's from Hayward, Wisconsin originally. His parents owned a Fairway grocery store there. He attended the University of Minnesota. He's had a first parish out by Buffalo, New York. Was a Navy chaplain during Vietnam, and actually he was at Khe Sanh during that battle. So, should be a good service next Sunday when we meet in the Family Life Center. We'll be taking the noisy offering today for the Good Samaritan Fund of the Kanawha County Ministerial Association. So that'll be we'll take that during the offering time. And then, I think tomorrow, is it a week from tomorrow that we serve at one more Food for the Soul? Okay, if you'd like to wear yellow, wear your yellow God's Work, Our Hands shirts for that, to help on that. So a week from Monday at Emmanuel Baptist. And let's see. I think that's all the announcements I'm going to draw your attention to. We do have release time tomorrow for grades 7, 8, and 9. And I'll call Diane Rundquist up to talk to us about the bazaar.
First of all, I want to thank everyone who was involved in any way in the bazaar yesterday. And with that, I have exciting and humbling numbers to tell you. We sold 1,008 pieces of lefse, $126 worth of rumagrut, 662 dozen cookies. The quilt raffle brought in $656. Silent auction, $2,125. The total that came out the door yesterday was $19,297. We also had a free will offering that we gave to Claire Larson from Calvary, who is doing a project to earn scholarships for the Maasai girls through the Image Project. She got $567.31 from the free will. Barb Orsted's International Bazaar got $1,677. The other number that is just absolutely staggering is that in 13 years, We have raised $207,338. So thank you again.
Thank you, Diane. And thank you to all the members of the congregation and others who helped in one way or another, came forward and supported and cared and worked and made things and donated things. Wonderful. We also have a temple talk today, not that it will come, that'll come later in the service, but Penny Griffin will share some thoughts on why she's involved in the church. So at this point, we continue. Any other announcements? And again, there is Wednesday night worship at 6:30 until 7 every night, Wednesday, if you wish to be a part of that also. With that, then, let's turn to page 57 in the front portion of our Lutheran Book of Worship as we move on to the Kyrie, where we ask God to hear our other prayers and concerns for our world. Let us rise as we are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
For God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join in the prayer of the day printed in your bulletin. O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is written in Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 24. In the days of Amos, people thought that the day of the Lord would be a time of great victory. But Amos announced that it would be a day of darkness, not light. He said, liturgy is no substitute for obedience. The Lord demands justice and righteousness in the community. Here begins the reading. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear. or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Here ends the first reading. The second reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Some of the Thessalonians are worried that dead Christians will be excluded from the resurrection to eternal life when Christ comes again. Paul reassures them with the word of hope that all Christians, living or dead, will be raised into everlasting life with Christ. Here begins the reading. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Here ends the second reading.
The psalm for this Sunday is Psalm 70. This psalm is a plea to God for deliverance from personal enemies. It contains a call for help, praise to the Lord, and an invitation for others to see how the Lord helps them. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
The Gospel for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus continues teaching in Jerusalem. It's the last week of the Holy Week. And he continues now talking about the need to always be ready to take hold of what the kingdom of God is. And he tells a parable, and he was noted for his parables. And here we have 10 bridesmaids, 10 women who are waiting for the groom to come and to accompany the marriage ceremony, but only 5 of them really were prepared. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this, said Jesus. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet. and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You congregation may be seated, and the children are invited forward now at this time for the sermonette.
Good morning. Right now, I'll take your offering. And let us say a prayer of the offering. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for giving us so much in life, and especially thank you for giving us hope. Help us to remember that you have given so much to us. Help us to give back. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever been in a power outage? Was it scary? No. Was it scary? What did you guys do? When all the power went off, what did you do? You used flashlights. Did you know where those flashlights were? Okay. So, I want to tell you a little story about what happened the beginning of September. And do you guys live around here? No? Okay, so in Mora, there was a huge storm, and a lot of people were in the church at the time, and we saw the bolts of lightning, the flashes of, or the thunder, the booms of thunder, and the winds blowing, and trees were crashing down everywhere, and then the power just went out. And a lot of us were just like, what's going on? What are we going to do? And I came to the understanding, I have no idea where a flashlight is in this church. I don't even know where a candle is. So now I keep a candle in my office just in case. So something like that ever happens again. I now keep a flashlight in my office in case anything like that happens. I also have a flashlight on my camera or on my phone. So, I mean, that helps, but I don't always have my phone with me. So, that's a good lesson that we need to be prepared. We need to plan ahead. And that is what our Bible lesson is for this morning. We are to be prepared for what's to come. And I think an important thing for us to understand is that we can do all that we can to prepare, but God also prepares us. God works in us and through us to prepare us and to make us who we are and to plan for the future. Sometimes that's hard to comprehend, but that should give us hope that God works in our lives and makes us prepared and ready. So in that sense, we're kind of like the candles. We're kind of like the flashlights, that we can do all that we can to prepare ourselves, but it really is God who uses us. So that gives us hope. So thank you so much for coming up, and you can go back to your seats.
Let us join our hearts in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the day of life, that you have protected us safely through the night, and that we have had the opportunity to gather now as your people in worship, to honor and praise you, to hear you, and to be comforted by your presence. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart here be found acceptable in your sight. Keep us in your word, for your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Pastor Kate and I didn't talk about what we're doing in sermonette and the sermon exactly. But I also start my sermon today with that September 3rd storm. I'd gone out to get supper and came back about 5:30, and it was starting to rain a little bit, and 14, 15 or more women were sitting at a table in the narthex area planning the bazaar, and Pastor Kay was at the end of the table, and when I came in, she kind of gave me a look like, come over here. So I came over, and she said, tennis ball-sized hail is coming. And I said to her, don't worry about the hail. I went back into the office area and was going to copying something on the copier, and I looked out through the east windows, and the rain hit at that point, and the wind was going straight, pushing the wind just straight, the rain just straight across. And I turned around to put something in the copier again and looked back, and the rain was going straight north. I thought, that's not good. And I walked out, and the east doors were going like this, and all the women were standing up looking, watching the sanctuary roof with the shingles flopping like this. What I should have said to Pastor Kate was, don't worry about the hail. Worry about the little tornado that's coming. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem. And they're coming out of the temple, and they're looking at the fine buildings. And the temple must have been a magnificent structure. It must have been wonderful to look at. And the disciples say, isn't this great? Actually, in Mark and Luke, they say, this is a wonderful building. But I'm going to go back a chapter to chapter 24. We jumped over that this week. I'm going to read chapter 24 about the first 13 verses because something similar is happening there. The disciples are saying, wow, look at this wonderful building. And Jesus says, there'll come a time when there's nothing left of that building. And there's going to be even worse things happening than that. But don't worry about it. Listen. Chapter 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Which again, was read in the first lesson from Amos. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus is saying wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, bad things, earthquakes, all these things will happen. Every so often, I come across somebody who says, yeah, the times are close, the end is near, you can see all these things happening. And I politely say, okay, yeah. I'm not a big fan, wasn't raised to worry about when the end of the world is going to take place. But there are those who are very much concerned and see this happening and that happening. Jesus is telling his disciples and he's telling us that the future is pretty uncertain. The future is going to be turbulent. It's not going to be easy. Actually, for those who hasn't watched the Wonderful Wizard of Oz movie, Dorothy and Toto find themselves in the land of Oz. And what they need to go is the Emerald City. And how does that beautiful song go? Just follow the yellow brick road. Just follow the yellow brick road. And all the munchkins, and they're just dancing around, and away they go. And the yellow brick road sounds like a cakewalk to the Emerald City. But what happens? Yellow brick road isn't yellow after a while. What happens? Well, they meet a scarecrow, and they meet the lion, and they meet the tin man, and the wicked witch, and all those problems. And it gets very messy. What seemed to be an easy trip to the Emerald City gets complicated. And Jesus is telling us it's not just a matter of following the yellow brick road, because the yellow brick road gets complicated too. And so it won't be an easy future for you. As we listen to what's going on in our world, we can be overwhelmed. The War of 1812 was over, almost by a month, I think, when the Battle of New Orleans took place. But it took that long for the word to get down to New Orleans to say the British had surrendered. We now can know within seconds what's happening halfway around the world. And what does that do for us? We hear all kinds of information, all kinds of things coming at us. We hear the good, the bad, and mostly the dramatic is brought to our attention. And it gets higher and higher upon us. The Ebola outbreak, terrible thing, of course, and it happens every so many years, it seems. The Ebola outbreak in West Africa, and what do we know? Suddenly it's with us, and we're hearing about people dying by the scores. And then, added to that, how we respond to it, how different nations are responding to it, not just America, but how do we respond to it? It becomes a political issue in our past election time. This party saying this party saying that, back and forth it goes and gets hyped up, and we're not doing enough, we should be doing more, we're not doing this, this is enough, good enough, bad enough, whatever. And then you get the media. The media, the newspapers, the TV, the television, the radio, they're putting out these different things too. And I find it interesting how the last number of years you hear that a storm is coming and the radio station, the TVs, oh, this is coming and this is coming, be watched, look out for this and that. And so all this stuff comes at us. Many years ago, I was trained in a thing called television awareness training, which was a class to tell people how to use TV, what TV's purposes are, what TV does to you, how it's trying to inform you in this way and that. And very interestingly, and kind of naively, I had thought differently, but they said the purpose of TV is not to entertain you, the purpose of TV is not to inform you. Yeah, by charter, they have to give a half hour every so often of news. That's part of their charter. But the purpose of TV is to sell products, to sell soap, the old soap operas. They put on these shows so you will watch the ads and you will buy. So they don't really care about your well-being as much as your money, that you buy this and that. And so, again, this fall is with the Ebola, different things, the media, newspapers, ratcheting up the pressure. All these things are happening, all these things, because we'll listen and buy the products they're advertising. So we don't always get from our media, we don't always get from our politicians, we don't always get from different sources, the simple information. Jesus is telling his disciples, you hear of wars, there will be wars, there'll be pestilence, earthquakes, all these different things, but don't be alarmed. The British have this wonderful saying, remain calm and carry on. Remain calm and carry on. Jesus is really telling his disciples, he's telling us, that in the midst of all that's going on in our world, remain calm and carry on your responsibilities. I was talking to Judge Amy Brosnahan yesterday at the end of the bazaar, and asking how it was going from being county attorney to a judge and different things. And one of my good friends back in North Dakota was a district judge for many years, so kind of comparing notes, and she was saying what she sees before her bench and what's going on, the people coming, the pain, the suffering, the things that, like Jim Beck and my friend said, things that don't have to be in court. They could have been settled somewhere else. But all this happening, and the pain and suffering goes on in our world. And then she began to tell me a story, as we talked about that, about a fire that started someplace in a forest or a jungle. Maybe the forest, I think. And all the animals were being driven out of this forest. And then they got to the edge of the forest and watched the fire burning the forest. And kind of just worried and kind of wringing their, they haven't got hands, of course, but wringing their hands. And then a hummingbird goes flying over to the river and picks up a drop of water and flies back to put it on the fire. And the other animals say, "What are you doing? That's so little." She said, "I'm doing what I can do." And the old story about someone walking along the shore and finding all these starfish on the shore and starts picking up and throwing them back in. And the friend says, "But there's so many of them. What difference does it make?" And the person says, "It makes a difference to this one." Doing what we can. Jesus is telling us to not be alarmed. Those things are going to happen. We're going to hear all kinds of stuff. We're going to get information overload. But your job is to do the gospel, to live out the gospel. And next week, Pastor Dan Olson is going to come and be our Consecration Sunday speaker. And I'm not sure what he's going to say. But it's a time we stop and think about, again, consecrating ourselves to God, our time to God. And that can be not just church things, bizarre things, Bible study things, worship things. As we live our life, as we give our time serving this way and that way, we are using our time for God. We have our talents. We have the abilities we use. And Martin Luther said the sense of vocatio, for our sense of vocation, who we are, how we serve that, that's consecrating to God. And then next Sunday, we'll also have a chance to make an estimate of our giving to our God financially to help. And so we are to continue using our time and our talents and our treasures for God in our everyday life, our work day, however we go. Monday was St. Martin de Porres Day. He was born in sometime in the 1500s in Peru. His father was a Spanish nobleman. His mother was African, Peruvian, I suppose. He had took on the dark complexion, and that long ago, he was outsided. He was ostracized. And so he offered himself to the monastery to sweep floors, offered to do what he could do. But there they found out that he had the ability to heal, to care for the sick, and to heal his fellow brothers in the monastery, and also into the community. Surprised what he did. He just decided to do what he could in the monastery and found that he had gifts beyond that ability. And he used them. And so Jesus, too, I think, says the gospel is to be preached. It is to be preached by living. I think St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel in every way you can, and if you need to, use words." But we live it out, as Martin de Porres did. So keep on, remain calm, carry on, says Jesus. You've got your time, your talents, your abilities. You've got your interests, your cares, your concerns. You've got the gospel to live out. Go ahead and do that. And don't worry about the other things happening in the midst. You do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Let us continue by singing, "O God, our help in ages past," hymn 320 in our Lutheran Book of Worship.
Thank you.
The Apostles' Creed is found on page 65 in the front of your Lutheran Book of Worship. Please rise if you are able. With the whole church, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated.
As we prepare for Consecration Sunday, we had a temple talk last week by John Holmgren, and today Penny Griffin will share some of her thoughts also. And Penny's one of our new members. She joined this fall, so glad to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Doug. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like to say that yesterday I had a great time at the bazaar. It was wonderful. It was my first time being there. And so today I would just like to speak a little bit on what the church has meant to me being here. So I've had a little rough time these last few years. I walked away from my Lord not too long ago. I was very sure he had forsaken me, very sure. It was a very dark time for me and my family. But this I do believe. My Anna and this church brought me back to my faith and to my Lord. I lost my faith on February 23rd, 2013, when my niece Annalyn Hurd was brutally murdered. But my faith is much stronger and grows daily because Pastor Doug answered my call that hard February 10th day to talk to me, a stranger, and bring me back to my faith and welcome me as this church also has, which I'm grateful for. I now believe in the power of prayer and to share my faith with others, for it is very contagious to me and everyone I talk to. It has been very healing to me, my loved ones, lots that I talk to, and it has been a great thing in my life, my family's lives, lots that I've talked to, lots I've spoken to, lots of Anna's friends, lots that thought they would never go back to God. Me, I didn't think I'd go back to God either after that. It was a very hard thing for me and a lot of people. But talking to Pastor Doug and a lot of people at this church has been very helpful, and it has brought me back to faith in a very special way that I never thought I would share with my Lord again, and it has been very helpful. So thank you for listening to me today.
Thanks, Pastor Doug.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you very much. Let us now make an offering to our God, and as we do so, we'll also make a noisy offering for the Good Samaritan Fund.
Thank you.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, you have given us grace by the confession of the true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your eternal glory. Lord, in your mercy. God of promise, you have given sight to those who cannot see, strength to those who cannot walk, and peace to those who are troubled. Give your healing touch to those who are sick, both in body and mind, those who are hospitalized. Especially we pray for Don Overson, Mindy Johnson, Michael Isom, Ray Ribbentrop, Victoria Danley, Sig Kerr, Bill Moody, Don Christian, Ernie Capra, Sharon Baer, Barbara Mitchell, Stephen Alness, Lee Everson, Doug Miller, Mark Nordine, Renee Rowland, Heather Smedstead, Bonnie Boyer, Shelley Hunt, Phyllis Ramsey, Lorna Salmonson, and all those we name in our hearts. Protect them by your loving might and grant them the gifts of health and strength and peace. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, we give you thanks for all the men and women who have served in the armed forces of this nation. We lift up our veterans in prayer and ask your blessings on all those who have been given, who have given themselves in times of peace and in times of war. For those who have been injured in body and spirit, we ask for your healing. And we ask that you guide us as we seek to help veterans who are returning home. And we pray for Ryan Schulberg and all those who are actively serving in the military, that you continue to protect them and give them the assurance of your presence. Lord, in your mercy. God of abundance, keep all those hunting this season safe and warm as they venture out seeking the perfect buck. Grant them a fun and rewarding time while being safe. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who are trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will go as Spirit-filled disciples of Jesus Christ, committed to change the world by God's grace through worship, education, mission, and ministry. And our final hymn is Soon and Very Soon, found in your Blue with One Voice hymnal.
Yeah.
Elena Howard.